Hello, and welcome to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein. I'm so happy to be back on the air after a couple weeks, or back live after a couple weeks off. And so excited for our guest tonight. It's my really good friend, Jill Bill. I just love her name as well. And when we sat down and talked and she told me her story, I said, you know what, you need to be on the show and we need to tell people about what you've been through. So let me tell you a bit about Jill. She has been married for 37 years to her high school sweetheart. She was 17 when she got married, and so all the odds were against her and her husband. And now they're in their 50s with grandchildren and happy hearts. Jill has very valuable information and insights to help others who, you know, are married and want to have a long-term marriage. She's also seen a lot of tragedy, including the death of a child within her marriage. So today we're going to talk about, you know, how what she's learned from those things, what she's learned in marriage, and how, you know, how she, what she recommends for a long, healthy relationship. So hi, Jill. Are you here with us?
I am, Carly. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Well, like I said, I am so happy to have you on the show. I just love your story. And when we first talked, I was like, wow, it's like so many things in your life are so in sync with mine that we were just meant to be friends. So
that's great.
Yeah. So, Jill, I gave a brief synopsis, but why don't you tell us about, you know, how you met your husband, Danny, and, you know, getting married and just some things you've experienced along the way.
Sure. I actually met my husband, Danny, in elementary school. We both went to the same school in Arvada, Colorado. And first time I remember seeing him was at a talent show, and he was in a bathtub singing Rubber Ducky, and I was in a hot pink hula skirt doing a little hula dance. So I was about fourth grade and he was sixth grade. And then we went on to junior high school and we weren't close at all. And he wasn't exactly my favorite guy at school. And so he went off to high school and a couple of years later I joined high school. And sure as heck, it was the first few days of school and he walked by and said hello. And I thought my eyes were going to pop out of my head. This guy was so hot and so good looking. And I looked at my friend next to me that also went to elementary school with us. And I said, is that Danny Bill? And she said, yes. And I was hooked. And we started dating that year. And I was 15 years old. We got married 2 years later when I was 17. And I am now 54 years old and still married to him.
Wow. Were you still in high school when you got married then?
I was. I was still in high school. And no, I wasn't pregnant when I got married. I was just so in love. I just adored this man. And that's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. I didn't care about the wedding. None of that. I wanted to be married to this man.
Wow. So did you have to get parents' approval to get married?
I did. I did. My parents had to sign, and I asked my father, you know, later on, why would you ever approve that? Why would you ever let your daughter get married at 17? And he said, I just knew how in love you guys were, and he was a little bit afraid that, you know, things would get out of hand. So he decided, you know, yes, we could get married, and they signed for it, and we were married October 14th, 1978.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
very
it was
cool.
Very interesting. It was very
so,
cool.
So I know you've had a lot of ups and downs within
sure.
the 37 years you've been married, so why don't you tell us a bit about that?
Well, of course, being married at 17, things are going to be rough. And they were rough. They were incredibly hard in a lot of ways, especially financially, while we were, you know, figuring out what we were doing with our lives and getting on our feet. And it was not easy by any means. But man, that first few years was fun. It was a lot of fun. And these women that look so forward to their weddings, and that's all they can look at, you got to look down the road, because this is till death do you part. If you truly, truly believe that, and that's what you're going to go by, divorce isn't an option. You know, and of course I say that easily, because of course there is an option. And, you know, I would never, ever want somebody to stay in a marriage where they're abused or anything like that. But luckily I didn't have that type of a marriage. I am married to a wonderful man. And so, you know, it was tough. It was really tough. And then, but there were a lot of good times. And I had never been alone in my life. I went right from my parents' home to Danny's home, or our home. And so that, you know, that was really different for me once he started traveling and I was by myself. So during this time, during the first 6 years, I had several miscarriages. And, you know, everyone is gut-wrenching. There's no doubt. Anybody that's gone through it, it's just gut-wrenching. And then our sixth year of marriage, we got pregnant with our daughter, Brian. And at the same time, my husband got on with the Denver Broncos. He was an equipment manager with them. So now he's traveling. And I, like I said, I'd never been alone. So I'm alone in this house. I'm pregnant with this child that, you know, I hadn't gone that long in pregnancies before. So it was very frightening. And unfortunately, at 7 months along, we went in for our doctor's appointment and found out there was something wrong with our daughter. And at the time, you know, this is before all the really high-tech stuff they have now, but at the time, they felt she had hydrocephalus, water on the brain. And so she would be born, they would put a shunt in, and the damage could be, you know, minimal to retardation, to a lot of things, depending on where the pressure was on her brain and on her spinal cord. Mm-hmm. So luckily, this is where being young is good, because you can be ignorant. You can just pretend to hear what you want to hear, because had I gone through the remainder of that pregnancy just knowing things were going to be horrible, it would have been impossible. So luckily, you know, I put on the brave face. I decided, okay, I'll buy a lot of little bonnets, you know, she'll be fine, they'll put a shunt in, there won't be any damage. That's how I went through my pregnancy, just believing that. Well, our daughter did not survive. She was born, she was a full-term baby, and she lived 9 hours. And she was incredibly deformed, and this was caused by something called amniotic bands. And these are a very common thing to happen in women, but most women never know it's happened. And what it is like in your first month of pregnancy, you might have a weak spot in the bag. And so you form these muscle bands that form over the hole because your baby's normal. It just is a weak bag right there. And you go on and you never know. However, my baby was laying over that weak spot in the bag. And this amniotic band formed over her head. So as she continued to grow, her head was kind of like if you put a rubber band on a balloon, and it would have to form around that band. And so part of her brain did not form. And she was a very sick little girl because of it. Also, her hand had been up a side of her face when it happened, and it amputated part of her fingers. And she also lost a couple toes due to these bands. And the hardest part for me was thinking, if this had happened any other day, had those bands formed, she would have not been laying there. You know, she just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Because otherwise, she would have been a very, very normal little girl.
Yeah.
It's very hard to deal with. And my husband was, again, traveling at the time. He was at training camp in Greeley with the football team. And so he came home long enough for us to have our baby and bury her. And then he had to leave again and go back to training camp. So I was alone in a very quiet house with a beautiful nursery and no baby.
Wow.
Yeah, really hard to deal with. Now, one of the things they tell you, they told us in the hospital, which I wish they had not, was that most marriages will not make it through this. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's crazy. You know, how could it destroy a marriage when it's something only the two of you have gone through and dealt with, and the only two that knew that baby at all? Right. And how could that tear your marriage apart? Well, the fact is, grief does that. Because everybody grieves differently. And so when we would be together, you know, he might be watching TV and laugh at something. And at that moment, my heart's so broken that I can hardly breathe. And it just makes you angry at each other. You don't grieve at the same time the same way. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard to get through.
Yeah. So what would you say the biggest lessons were or takeaways you had from this experience?
Oh, my goodness, sir. There's been a lot. And one is that you never know what love will look like. Because had somebody just shown me a picture of Brian, I would have kind of cringed. You know, oh, my God, how can a baby look like that? Mm-hmm. But this was my baby and Danny's baby, and you just fall in love. You immediately fall in love. It doesn't matter what they look like. So it puts a whole new way of thinking in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So I came away with that. You never know what love will look like. I came away that God has big shoulders and you can be as mad as you need to be at him. He understands.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never alone because of my faith and my beliefs in God.
Yeah.
So that has helped me then and it helps me now.
Wow.
Yeah. And Danny and I, we just didn't give up. There were times we wanted to give up, you know. And through 37 years, trust me, there's times you want to give up. I mean, marriage is not easy at any time. But that was a very crucial and critical time for us.
Yeah.
And so you just have to know you can make it. It will get better. Now, I can't say I don't hurt every day because I do. You know, I think of her every day and I miss her, and there's somebody missing in our family photos and missing in my heart. But I've been really blessed, and I think I became a better mother to my next child that I was blessed with that I might not have been had I not had her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so you and Danny have experienced grieving multiple times at this point, you know,
mm-hmm.
from the miscarriages and that. So, you know, how long did it take to really understand, you know, that you both grieve in different ways?
Well, we noticed it right away. I mean, luckily we did notice it because that, you know, to have one person laughing when your life has fallen apart is really devastating.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was made aware to us, I don't like the way it was made aware to us, but it was, we had that in our minds, you know, and
mm-hmm.
we got better about saying, now's not the time, or
right.
I need you not to do this, or I'm really hurting right now. So, and as a mom, you honestly feel guilty when you start to laugh again, when you start to live life again and move on and maybe enjoy a movie for an hour and not think about your baby or whatever it may be. You know, you feel very guilty. How could I laugh when my baby is gone?
Yeah.
But it's okay. You know, those are things you have to learn along the way. And if I can get people to understand that, you know, even in tragedy, their lives are over, and we can learn so much from that, but our lives are not over. We need to keep moving forward the best way that we can.
Yeah,
so I think that helped both of us.
Yeah, and it's great that you were able to take a step back and really realize that, you know, we're both going through this process and we're doing it differently, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's a very lonely process.
Right. Yeah.
Especially with a newborn that people didn't get to love and, you know her.
Yeah.
But as a mom, you know, you've bonded before your child's born. So,
yes.
Yeah, it's tough. But I don't care what the age of the child, you know, moms and dads deal with it differently. There's just no doubt, and there's no right or wrong. You just have to get through it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, Jill, what do you feel is the foundation for a long-lasting relationship?
A lot of humor is involved, a lot. And I know that doesn't sound like a foundation, but it really is, because life is so serious. And when things get tough, I've been talking, you know, you don't know how you're going to pay a doctor bill or something, and things are getting tough and tight between you. If you can laugh at something together, it makes it so much better. And Dan and I laugh a lot. And sometimes at each other and with each other, and you never know. But there is a lot of laughter because there has been so much pain. And I don't want to live in the pain. We are taught how to live with pain. I mean, we're taught how to do that. Nobody teaches us how to live happily, if you think about it. But if it's in your mind that you want to be happy and you want your relationship happy, that's what you're going to strive for without even realizing it.
Yeah, I love it.
So, and I don't want people to get the wrong picture. Danny and I have gone through some really bad times just relationship-wise, you know, and they were, I thought maybe the end of our marriage. But you just stick with it. You just stick with it. You say your prayers. You do the right things, what you know you should be trying to do. And listen to each other.
Yeah.
So I think that's real helpful to people if they just understand they're not alone, too.
Yeah, that's great advice. That's beautiful advice.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we're going to go to a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and chat some more.
All right.
All right. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Alvin. And this is Calvin. We're the godsons of the late legendary Godfather Soul himself, Mr. James Brown. We'll be at the 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion in Reno, Nevada, June 5th, 2016, brought to you by Faces of Success Radio. And as the Godfather always told us, whatever we do, it's got to be funky. See you there. Good God.
Call them, I'll show up, can't believe you called my home. And as a matter of fact, Hi, this is Evelyn Champagne King, and on behalf of me and my brother Johnny King, we're very excited to be a part of Faces of Success 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion in Reno, Nevada, at the Grand Sierra Hotel. We'll be making our way down the red carpet, performing my new single, Dance All Night, so you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a lot of great talent. See you there.
Hello, and welcome back to Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein on Faces of Success Radio. Jill Bill is my guest tonight, and we have been talking about her 37-year-long marriage. And our show is live, so if you're listening and have any questions or comments for Jill, you can call in at 323-642-1569. Just dial 1 to indicate that you want to leave a comment or a question. Again, that's 323-642-1569. So I love that song, and as I was listening to the lyrics, I was like, oh, this song is like perfect for Jill and her marriage.
That's great.
Every little step.
Every little step.
Yeah. So, so tell us more about the things you've experienced. So I know you do have a wonderful son with grandkids, but his birth or, you know, early stages weren't so easy either.
No, they weren't. So after we had Brian, Dan and I decided we were done, that we weren't going to have any more kids. We weren't going to put ourselves through this. We went and bought a townhome and just decided to make life easy. Well, lo and behold, God had other plans, and we ended up pregnant. Scariest thought to me ever was when I found that out. I thought, there's no way we can do this again. But it was really interesting because I got a real peace about it after time. And I had a very peaceful pregnancy. So that was great. Now, I can't say I didn't get nervous. I would get nervous a lot, but I would feel peace at very quickly. And when I'd go to my doctor's appointments, I was always nervous if that baby wasn't moving like I thought he should be. So I ended up giving birth to Brandon, and they are 16 months apart. And it was such an amazing occasion. I had a lot of the same people in that delivery room that were in there with Brian and knew that situation and circumstances. And so it was a pretty exciting and celebratory experience to have him. And I know when Brian was born, I kept saying, what is it? What is it? What is it? And with Brandon, I kept saying, is his head okay? Is his head okay? I just wanted to know this baby had a round, perfect skull and was fine. And, you know, thank God he was wonderful. So that was very, very exciting. And my prayers had been answered. And so we brought Brandon home and, you know, went on about life. And his head, I kept noticing, was flat in the back. But he wouldn't let me lay him down, like back or on his tummy. He would just scream. So I kept him sleeping in an infant seat inside the bassinet. And that's the only way that he wouldn't cry. And so I took him in for his three-month checkup. And the doctor says, something's wrong with his head. And I think he has craniosynostosis. So we're going to need to go get x-rays. And I'm like, you are crazy. His head's flat. It's my fault because I lay him on his back a lot in his infancy. You know, I was totally blaming me. And I thought this doctor was just so wrong. So I left there angry. And I came home, and they'd already made an appointment for him with a specialist that was so hard to get into. It took like three more months to get in to see him. And so during the three-month time, I kept telling my husband, you know, he's going to say, why are you wasting my time? I know there's nothing wrong with this baby. He's fine. He's just got a flat head. And thankfully, as it got close, I was ready to cancel the appointment. And thankfully, my husband would not let me. He said, Jill, We've got the appointment. Let's take him. Let's just make sure he's okay. And I am so grateful he did that. Because we took him in, and he had had x-rays and had all this stuff done, and Dr. Handy said, this is what's wrong with him. He's got craniosynostosis. He's going to need two surgeries. And what that is, what the disease is, it's called an environmental birth defect. And they feel that it could have been used from, or happened because of uranium or plutonium in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So there was quite a few babies in that year and a half that ended up getting this. And what it does, it takes the sutures in your skull, which when you look at a skull and you see all those lines on there, those are called sutures. And when you start out, they're open. There are gaps in them, which gives your skull room to grow as your brain gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one closes when you're about 30 years old. So they're very important. Well, Brandon had the ones in the front and on the side, they were closed already. So every time I laid that baby down, I was making him have an incredible headache. And as he got older, he would rock back and forth on his hands and knees, and he would hit his head on the crib. He would get, once later on when he was crawling, he would get rug burns across his forehead because his head hurt, and he would just rub it on the carpet. So he ended up having his first surgery at 6 months old. They took the whole front of his skull out and reshaped it and put it back. And then on his first birthday, he had to have a second surgery, and that turned into an emergency surgery is why it was on his birthday, because things had closed up so much that we were afraid, you know, there was going to be brain damage. There was so much that could happen and go wrong with pressure on the brain like that, which was interesting how coincidental that is to, you know, the things we heard about Brian when they're totally different problems. And so they took him in, and the first surgery, they took out the back of the skull. I'm sorry, that was my mistake. And the second one, they took out the forehead and the skull and reshaped it, put it back in with staples.
Mm-hmm.
So after the first surgery, his brain was basically only the back of his brain was basically only covered by skin because they'd removed the bone completely.
Mm-hmm.
So this baby could not ride in a car seat, sit in a high chair, sit in an infant seat, and he had to be tied into bed, into his crib at night, so he could not roll over and hit his head because the brain was exposed. There was nothing to protect it.
Yeah.
And once that grew back together and they did his forehead, then when they did his forehead, we couldn't lay him on his front anymore. We had to tie him so he was laying on his back.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare. Every day was a nightmare, so scary with him.
Yeah.
But he wore a helmet for a couple of years, and he's great. You wouldn't know. He's so intelligent and caring and loving, and he's a teacher, and he's talented beyond words.
Mm-hmm.
We were so, so blessed that he was okay.
Yes.
So during this process, of course, you know, we're trying to protect this little one. I want to protect him with, you know, like bubble wrap around him. And my husband's like, you got to let him go. You know, he's going to fall. He's going to do all these things to be a normal child. I mean, he's learning to walk. You know, he's going to fall.
Yeah.
And so I let him fall a lot and let him progress. And thank God for the helmet. And he's doing really great. But again, that's a very tough time on a marriage.
Yeah.
You know, very tough time.
Well, right. And, you know, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned our lives are very much in synchronicity. You and I, and my brother, who's 30, was born with the same birth defect.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, yeah, you know, in Colorado, and my mom says the same thing, it was due to the water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember her being 3 years older than him. You know, having to experience him, you know, in the hospital, my mom tying him down, and him wearing a helmet the first 2 years of his life. So, yeah, and I'm sure it was very, very challenging on your marriage. So tell us a bit about how, you and Danny survived that.
I'm telling you, that's by the grace of God. It really is, because, again, part of you is grieving. You know, you don't have the little, you know, perfect baby from the JCPenney catalog. You know, your child has problems. First of all, are they going to survive the problem? That was my first fear, of course. You know, and then letting him go, letting him learn to crawl and roll over and, you know, all those challenges. And we just had to work together.
Mm-hmm.
We had to work together. And, yeah, it wasn't easy. But, like I said, we have a lot of laughter in our home. And that's what gets us through. I mean, when I'm about the end of my rope, he will say something that I can't help but burst out laughing. And, you know, bring me back down to earth. So that's really important for us. But another interesting point is, you know, yeah, Danny and I had a lot of rough grieving moments and stuff in, you know, the first 7-8 years. But then you've got to learn how to be happy together.
Yeah.
You know, when the crises end, which we all know how to deal with, you know, we work hard to get through. Then when nothing's going on, it's like, who is this person, you know?
Yeah.
Then a lot of real work begins. It's kind of like empty nesting, you know. All of a sudden, who are you? And it's very interesting. Very interesting. People just need to know that marriage is a challenge. It's always going to be a challenge, but there's so many more good times than challenging times.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
So, you know, how else does having a child really impact your marriage?
You know, I can't speak for anybody that has just a normal baby, but it changes your life completely. And women that think, you know, or any couple that thinks, you know, having a baby will bring us closer, that could not be further from the truth. Because you are putting a big, wide gap between you that is sucking all your energy, all your time, all your money. I mean, it is a huge, huge deal to bring a child. You think this little 7-pound baby, you know, how much work can they be? Well,
right.
Let me tell you, they are so much work and you are so exhausted. And every time you get through a stage, you think, oh, thank God. But you know what? There's another stage right behind it. And so I don't get me wrong, having children, of course, I worked very hard to have children. It's very important to me. But people need to understand it is not going to save anything. It's going to bring more challenge into your life. It's also going to bring a lot more love and happiness and memories that you will laugh at for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. I mean, there is nothing greater. There's nothing greater than having your family. But that doesn't mean that it's a piece of cake.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, another big aspect to marriage is in-laws.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a bit about your relationship with your in-laws.
With my in-laws. You know, Danny's father passed away when Brandon was 5. And that was a huge loss for our family. He was only 54 years old at the time. And I had a lot of fun with Danny's dad. He was challenging, but he was a lot of fun. He was the type that would say things that kind of would come out a little inappropriate. And being younger, I would be like, oh, my God, because my family never spoke like that. And the really great thing about Danny's mom is she stays to herself quite a bit. So it wasn't a perfect relationship by any means in the beginning. And now that I'm on the other side of that, not being the wife, but also being the mom of the husband, I see how hard that would be. Because all of a sudden, who you've loved forever is loving somebody else. And that other person is taking control. And I did not do the best job at that, you know, when I was the wife. I mean, he was mine now. I didn't want any input or anything. But the one thing I can say about his mom is she was pretty good about keeping things to herself and, you know, letting me find my way. So otherwise it would have been horrible. And now, you know, I love her. I mean, it's fine, but it was a challenge for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when you become the mother of the groom, oh my God. I thought sending them off to college was hard. No. When they all of a sudden aren't yours anymore and they're really not yours, oh, it's so difficult. And I've had to learn through it how to step aside. Luckily, I have a daughter-in-law that I love. She's the most amazing mom. She's really wonderful. And so I see the love she has and how hard she works for her marriage and with those babies. And so it's easier now for me to step aside.
Nice.
But that wasn't the case in the beginning. It's all learning. It's all learning.
Yeah, it's, I mean, and that's one thing I love about you, Jill, is, you know, just from your story, it sounds like you take a challenge and you take it gracefully and just, you know, learn from it instead of giving up.
Which yeah.
People tend to just give up.
Yeah, you can't. And oh my gosh, this last year has been a very growing year for me. And to learn that so much of what you think is what's happening in your life, if it's true or not.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to have a crummy day, you will have a crummy day.
Yeah.
But if you honestly sit there and think about how wonderful your day is going to be and, you know, all the blessings that are coming your way or the magic or whatever you want to call it, that's what you get. You get a wonderful day and you get to see so many things to be grateful for. All in how you look at it.
Yes, all about perception, right?
Yes, it is.
Well, wonderful. Yep. Well, Jill, we are going to go into another commercial break and be right back.
All right.
Make me Renee Jones Talk Show, coming to you live every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Eddie Jones, president of the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association. Eddie Jones Jr., a native of Los Angeles, California, has been president of the Los Angeles Civil Rights Association for 10 years and a public servant for the last 20 years. Mr. Jones has worked with a variety of leaders from all over the United States, such as Dr. Earl Ofari Hutchinson, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Yvonne Burke, Congresswoman Diane Watson, Congresswoman Maxine Waters, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. III, John Mack, Councilman Herb Wesson, Councilman Bernard Parks, Dick Gregory, Danny Bakewell Sr., and a host of governors, congresspeople, and council people. Tune in every Monday at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you can tune in at www.facesofsuccessradio.com. Click on the guest photo or link to listen live, or listen in at 323-642-1569. Press 1 to comment on the show.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Evelyn Champagne King, and on behalf of me and my brother Johnny King, we're very excited to be a part of Faces of Success 2016 Old School Celebrity Reunion in Reno, Nevada, at the Grand Sierra Hotel. We'll be making our way down the red carpet, performing my new single, Dance All Night, so you don't want to miss it. It's going to be a lot of great talent. See you there.
Yes, and welcome back. Oh, I can't wait for our event next June and to meet everyone who's going to be there. And we, of course, invite all the listeners to come out to Reno in June. So we are back. This is Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein. And my special guest, Jill Bill, is here. And again, if anyone wants to call in with any questions, they can. The number is 323-642-1569, and just dial 1 to indicate that you have a question or comment. So, Jill, a lot of people, you know, walk into marriage with this thought that, you know, it's 50-50 and that makes a whole. And
right.
I know you don't agree with that.
Not at all.
So yeah, tell us, like, I have my own opinions, but I want to hear yours.
Well, you know, it sounds good. It would be wonderful if it was like that, but life doesn't work that way. So, you know, I mean, think of things like what happened in your day today, you know, and was your day as rough as my day today, or did you have the obstacles to overcome today that I had to overcome, or are you feeling as well as I'm feeling? That type of thing. Okay, so every day is different for people. And today you might have energy, tomorrow you don't have energy. It can't be 50-50. It's a very rare, I'm not going to say can't, it's a very rare when marriage is 50-50. But if your marriage is 70-30, and then later on it switches and your part's 30 and theirs is 70, that's, to me, a wonderful marriage. Because that shows that you each step up for the other person when needed. And let's face it, I mean, why are we together if we're not here to help each other through life?
Yeah.
That just makes no sense. 50-50 would be wonderful. I think that's a great plan. But let's not have false expectations. Because it's just rare that that happens. So, honestly, I think to have a perfect, as perfect a marriage as you could possibly have, I think you want the other person's happiness even more than you want your own happiness. Yeah. So, I think it's so true. I mean, it might seem outdated or whatever, but that doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is what works.
Yeah.
And if your happiness is going in the right direction and you are incredibly happy, and then you know what? My life's going to be that much better also, and vice versa.
Yeah.
So just listen to each other, be there for each other, love each other, and don't keep track of points, you know?
Yeah.
It's just not going to be like that, but count your lucky stars if you guys are going back and forth having 70-30 days.
Yeah.
Because it's a
like
good thing.
I like to say, you know, each person shows up 100%.
Yeah, that's great. But not always true, you know?
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
you want to try your best to show up 100%.
Well, yeah, and I think that's how you go into it. And with the 50-50 mentality, it creates a place where you're counting points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I did this, you did that, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, with the 100%, it's like you're there, and whatever happens, you know, you're there for that person. You're there to help walk them through that, support them,
yes,
whatever is needed.
Yes.
You know, and it's not about taking points. It's about
no.
expressing your needs and communicating them.
Yes. Communication is huge. And
yes.
One thing that I really would like to say to other women that are listening, never, ever, ever give up your girlfriends. Ever.
Yeah.
Because men were not made to be your girlfriends. They're just not made that way.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be interested in the same things or have, you know, those touchy-feely moments that your girlfriends have with you or the encouragement your girlfriends have. You need your girlfriends. God gave you girlfriends for a reason. So treat them well because you're going to need them. You're just going to need them.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. Well, Jill, thank you so much for being on the show. Now,
you're
I know
very welcome.
You have a book coming out next year.
Oh, yes, I do. And unfortunately, I cannot tell you the name of the book because nothing has resonated with me that speaks what it truly should be, what it truly should say to people. But I hope that, you know, maybe I can come back on your show when we get closer and let you know the exact name of it. But I think it'll be interesting to a lot of people. I think it'll be helpful to people. And it is regarding my daughter. So as soon as that name is out, I will shout it from the rooftops. And also, I have a website, JillyBoxDesigns, that's with an S at the end, .com, where you can go and see memory boxes that I make and shadow boxes and different things. And when the book gets closer, the name will also be revealed there. So I would love it if you come to my website and me and follow me.
Yeah, she makes gorgeous, gorgeous things. In fact, I think she has one waiting for me at home to pick up. That perfectly matches
yes,
my holiday.
Yes, I do.
So, again, thank you so much for being on the show. And JillyBoxes.com is her website.
JillyBox Designs.
Oh, JillyBox Designs, sorry. JillyBoxDesigns.com is Jill's website, so you can go check out more of what she does there. And, you know, thank you, Jill, for being so vulnerable and sharing your story. It is definitely
You're
a story
welcome.
That needs to be heard, and I'm sure many listeners out there, including myself, picked up some really helpful, you know, tips and insights about marriage.
Good. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to the show this evening. We have some great shows coming up in the next few weeks. And then, you know, in the new year, we have even, you know, even greater things coming. We're doing a men's tell-all show and a women's tell-all show. And, of course, my special Valentine's Love Fest that is quickly coming together. So, thank you all for listening, and we will see you next Sunday at 4 p.m. Pacific time on Dating, Mating, and Relating with Carly Stein. Have a great evening.